jolly fellow who seemed to say whatever came into his head, yet had so many serious thoughts concealed deep in his heart. He came from a good family. There were some who said that he was a conference counselor's son, or might have been. He had a good education, had been the assistant to a schoolmaster, the deputy of a parish clerk, but what help could that have been? When he lived with the parish clerk, it was agreed that he should have free use of everything in the house. He was then young and a bit of a dandy, as we call it, and he wanted shoe polish to brush and shine his boots with. But the parish clerk would only allow him grease, and so they had a quarrel. One spoke of stinginess, the other of vanity. The shoe polish became the black cause of their strife, and so they separated. But what he wanted from the parish clerk, he wanted of the world generally. The very best polish, and he always got its substitute, grease. So he turned his back on everybody, and finally became a hermit. But in a big city, hermitage with a livelihood is to be found only in the church tower. So up it he went, and there he would smoke his pipe, and pace up and down on his lonely walks, looking upward and downward, and talking in his own way about what he saw or didn't see, what he read in books, or in himself. I often lent him books to read, good books, for by the company one keeps shall he be known. He didn't care for the English governess type of novel, he said, nor for the French ones either, which he called a brew of empty wind and rose stalks. No, he liked biographies and books about the wonders of nature. I visited him at least once a year, generally soon after the new year. He always had something to tell which the change of year suggested to his thoughts. I shall tell about two visits, and use his own words as far as I can. First visit. Among the books I had recently lent Ola was one about pebbles, which had greatly pleased him. They are truly veterans from olden times, these pebbles, he said, yet people pass them by without thinking, and trample them down in fields or on beaches, those fragments of antiquity. I have done so myself. From now on, I shall hold every paving stone in high respect. Thank you for the book. It has driven cobwebby old thoughts and ideas out of my head and made me eager to read more of the same type. The romance of the earth is truly the most fascinating of all romances. It's a shame we can't read the first parts of it, but they're written in a language we haven't learned yet. We have to dig away among strata and rocks, puzzling out bits here and there from the early acts of Earth's drama. The acting persons of the drama, old Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve, don't make their entrance before the sixth act. That's far too late for many impatient readers who want them to come on stage right away. But it's all the same to me. It is indeed a most marvelous romance, and here we all are in it. We creep and crawl about, but always stay where we are, while all the while the globe keeps turning around, but never splashing its ocean spray over us. The crust on which we move remains solid, so that we never fall through, and so it is a story of millions of years with steady progress. Many thanks for your book on pebbles. Those old fellows could tell us so much, if only they could talk. Isn't it funny to be nobody once in a while, like me, and then remember that we all, whether we have the best shoe blacking or not, are just like tiny ants on the anthill of the world, even though some of us ants have stars and decorations, honors and offices? And it makes you feel so ridiculously young, compared with the millions of years of these venerable stones. I read your book on New Year's Eve, and became so lost in it that I entirely forgot my usual New Year's Eve entertainment, watching the wild hunt to Amar. But you don't know what that is. The witch's flight to the Blocksberg on Midsummer Eve is, of course, well known. But we also have a wild mob in this land and in our time, which speeds to Amar on New Year's Eve. All the bad poets, poetesses, newspaper hack writers, musicians, and artistic lions who are not worth anything else ride through the air to Amar on New Year's Eve. They sit astride their pencils or quill pens, for steel pens are too stiff for riding. I watch them every New Year's Eve. I could name most of them, but it isn't worthwhile. They don't imagine anybody knows of their trip through the air on the quill pens. There is a sort of niece of mine who is a fisherwoman, and writes scandal and slander for three respectable papers. She says she has been out there as an invited guest, and they carried her.